20 years ago today, the Iron Curtain began to unravel. It was on March 11, 1990, that Lithuania became the first Soviet republic to declare its independence. The Soviet grip on Eastern Europe had begun to loosen with the fall of the Berlin Wall a few months earlier, but Lithuania's move soon led to the collapse of the Soviet Union itself. Now, 20 years later, the fortified east-west boundary is also just a memory. Not all vestiges of the Iron Curtain have vanished from the landscape, though. As Ashley Ahern reports, in some places, the former no-man's land is being preserved as a greenbelt.
Near the town of Mitwitz in Bavaria, an unkempt strip of trees and shrubs slices through acres of golden wheat fields. This 50-meter-wide swath is all that's left of the once-impenetrable Iron Curtain.
This was a place where I started with bird watching on the borderline, 1975.
Kai Froebel was just 16 when he took up birding along the militarized border between East Germany and his home in the West, armed only with binoculars and Wellington boots.
So did your parents know you were out on the border watching birds?
Yes, they know it. Not only my parents.
The East German intelligence office kept a file on Froebel. They thought he was a spy for the West. But Froebel was really just in it for the birds. He realized that without people in the buffer zone, bird populations were thriving. Today, nearly 20 years after the border disappeared, they still are. Froebel switches back to his native German to identify the birds calling from the underbrush.
As im Moment hört man die Goldammer.
There's a yellowhammer, a marsh warbler, a European whitethroat. Froebel says endangered birds came to depend on the no-man's land, as habitat elsewhere was lost to industrial agriculture. And he says he knew that if East and West Germany reunited, this place would need to be protected. So just weeks after the fall of the Berlin Wall, Froebel called a meeting of like-minded Germans from both sides of the border. The European Greenbelt Initiative was born. 20 years later, groups from nearly 24 countries are still patching together a network of over 1,400 protected areas, stretching more than 5,000 miles across the heart of Europe, from Finland in the far north to Albania in the Balkans.
You see?
Oh, wow.
About 500 miles southeast of Kai Froebel's town, Alois Lang climbs an old guard tower near the once militarized border between Austria and Hungary. A wide swath of swampy grassland and a shallow lake dotted with waterfowl stretches out below him.
It's one of the key places for bird migration between northern Europe and Africa.
Lang is director of ecotourism for Neusiedlersee-Seewinkel National Park, which shares management of roughly 350 square miles here with its Hungarian counterpart across the border.
We have approximately 150 species that are migrating, that need the area here as a resting and feeding place. And another 150 approximately is breeding here. That was the reason why the Greenbelt was identified as the only positive heritage of Cold War times.
Some of the protected areas along the European Greenbelt are public parks like this one. Others are managed by partnerships between private landowners and conservation groups. Some are designated as UN World Heritage Sites, while others are just scraps of fallow urban land. Perhaps nowhere were the divisions of Cold War Europe more strongly pronounced than in the city of Berlin. Today, trains rush along two sides of a stretch of abandoned green space in the southern part of the city. In the mid-1900s, this area was a rail yard. But when the Berlin Wall was built in 1961, the trains stopped coming. Jesse Shapins is an American urban historian who's lived and worked extensively in Berlin.
And so what's happened over the last 40, 50 years is an enormous park has grown up on top of all of these old train tracks.
What was once a bustling knot of tracks is now the Naturpark Schöneberger Südgeland. But it wasn't a sure thing that this spot would remain a refuge for nature. When the wall came down, Berliners had to fight to keep these 44 acres from being redeveloped. Shapin says it's an urban wildlife oasis.
So what we have here now is an incredibly diverse ecosystem. Over 350 different types of plants. There's around 50 different types of large mushrooms. You could even find almost 60 different types of spiders.
The green jewels along the old east-west border are an ironic positive legacy of a very dark period in European history. Still, not all conservationists believe that protecting big stretches of the buffer zone is a good use of scarce conservation resources. Some are also wary of preserving vestiges of the political boundaries that so many in the region fought and died to erase. But for others, protecting natural areas along the old frontier is a critical part of the healing process.
It becomes a sort of ecological backbone.
Anna Grischting is a Swiss urbanist and architect who studied military buffer zones around the world, including Berlin. She's standing outside a chapel that was built to commemorate the people who died trying to cross the Berlin Wall. Grischting believes the Greenbelt Project gives people the opportunity to use nature to heal political divisions.
The actual populations who are close to the borders are often collaborating, especially on questions of ecology. I think ecology is very interesting because it's something that brings people together despite their nationalities.
20 years after the Iron Curtain crumbled, conservation groups in countries up and down Europe continue to work together to produce habitat and biodiversity maps of the green strip they're trying to protect. There are also plans to develop an extensive network of bicycle paths along what was once a death zone of landmines, guard dogs, and barbed wire. For The World, I'm Ashley Ahern, Berlin.